one of my favorite games of all time isn't Fallout. It's RimWorld. RimWorld has Fallout. You'll be playing in the world and suddenly there'll be a radiation attack and a toxic fallout is what they call it.
What?
And then you have to, all your little citizens have to go into their little place and they make, it's very similar to the Fallout mobile game, which I did play a few years ago. I've also played Fallout 4, the PC game. Have you ever played Fallout before?
I played Fallout 4 the very beginning of it.
Okay, so you haven't, so you haven't done the
full
thing.
But going back to RimWorld,
yes.
How exactly, because the whole entire story of that is that there's a group of passengers, right? And then you like crash onto an island of your choosing?
It's sort of. You get the world and then you get to choose who you want to be. Either you're a group of survivors or you're just one dude who's really rich and has a bunch of stuff and a dog.
And a dog, like Fallout 4.
Yeah, you build up your own little place and then you survive there. And then sometimes the environment works against you. The animals turn rabid or there's toxic fallout and you just have to survive. Point is, Fallout, the game, which came out in what, 1994?
Well, and the first one came out in the 90s, but Fallout 4, which I think is probably the most famous, came out in 2015, then Fallout 76 came out in 2018.
I thought Fallout New Vegas or whatever was considered one of the best ones.
Yeah, I think that was the one that came out.
Which was the multiplayer game?
Fallout New Vegas.
Okay, so it wasn't 76? I know I'm behind on like one of them.
What? Okay.
This isn't great for starting our podcast. Let's jump to the TV show. Okay. So studios fork over millions of dollars in acquiring rights for movies, plays, comics, and books.
And
right?
Sometimes they will keep those rights. I remember with Shogun, they literally had to shoot one scene in 2019 just to be able to keep having them.
Yeah, it's speculative investments. Sometimes they have established authors like Stephen King. He'll come out, he'll say, I'm about to write a book. Who wants the first bidding? In baseball, there's that common expression, you fail 7 times out of 10, still makes you a Hall of Famer.
Batting 300.
In Hollywood, your investments can fail just as much, if not like 9 times out of 10, and it doesn't matter. In fact, some of these movie studios, they like to scrap over, like Warner Bros. Just got rid of the Batgirl film. Ton of this like old IP stuff.
Blood and Honey 2.
Yeah. What if there was a way, though, that you could buy IP with a better return rate? This is where my thesis comes into play, because if you look at TV shows independently, right?
Yeah.
What has been incredibly successful for them, if not making shows off video games? The Witcher, though by season 3, people say it's not as good, but it was incredibly successful to start with. The Cuphead show, Arcane,
of course.
Castlevania, The Last of Us, even shows indirectly about video games have been pretty successful. Players, which I think was underrated. Mythic Quest got like 3-4 seasons on Apple. The Black Mirror Interactive special, Bandersnatch.
These are all comedies, though. Even Bandersnatch.
But not the Witcher, not Arcane, not Castlevania, not The Last of Us for certain. But not only are they critically and also commercially successful, they have a built-in fan base going in. They have free promotion due to their rarity. Like, I don't know, random news will start talking about these puppies. And most importantly, they have a fully realized universe built on the backs of underpaid, overworked workers.
that's very Voters. True. Yeah. But I think it's important to also notice that this was really all the shows that you mentioned in the last 6 years or so.
Last decade, that's really only when TV decided to tackle video games, and only when I think they saw it as an opportunity, because there are still notable exceptions. The Resident Evil show sucked.
Yes.
Halo has been mediocre, mixed reviews,
yeah,
but it's still on, so I would consider it a success.
Those are all the shows I was going to talk about, but this actually fits nicely into my game, which is, which of these is not being made into a film or TV shows? I have 4 options here. I want to see if you can guess which one it is.
Okay,
so the first one is Borderlands, a film. By the way, these are coming out.
The film thing is what I can't rely on, because World of Warcraft or whatever film that was, it was pretty bad.
But these are just ones that they are making.
I'm just saying, I would root for studios to take them and put them toward some form of streaming network, because they're actually able to spread them out over time. They can't put a full game into a movie. They've tried that.
And that's actually what the creators of this said. They said that they decided to make kind of Fallout 5. This is confirmed to be Fallout 5, even though Todd Howard, who is the runner of Bethesda, said that they are planning on making Fallout 5 the game. They said that this is definitely canon along with the game.
Yeah.
But going back to the game now, in that case, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, that's going to be a series coming out on Netflix. in 2024.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
And then there's BioShock. That's going to be another film coming out that they're thinking maybe 2024, 2025. Or Red Dead Redemption 2, which is going to be a TV series.
Those last two seem fake. But like you said, there's only one fake
one. There's only one fake one.
Oh, man. I'll go with the BioShock one. Is BioShock not
coming out? BioShock, they are planning on making that into a film. It was actually Red Dead Redemption. But with the Lara Croft Tomb Raider one, that one they already have a trailer for. And it's supposed to be animated, computer animated.
Starring in it?
I don't know. It's not going to be Alicia Vikander anymore. It is kind of funny, along with Walton Goggins.
So Angelina Jolie. It just retracts back to Angelina.
They might do a multiverse type of situation where all three, whoever is voicing her,
what
going
was
to
the fact
with
that you told me about Nicolas Cage, because he showed up in the Flash movie as Superman, but you told me a fact about him recently.
Yeah, well, it was about the Flash, and that they got him for an hour. They had him for an hour, and that's how they were able to animate him for his like 5 second part in the movie.
Okay, all right. So the synopsis of this story, Fallout, the pilot, their second violence and drugs. So it's got all of the three. It's called The End. In 2077, Cooper Howard and his daughter are caught in a nuclear attack on Los Angeles, sparking the Great War. Two centuries later, Lucy McLean, it's Red McLean, but it is McLean, from Vault 33, enters an arranged marriage only to discover the residents of her husband's vault are actually raiders who attack her people and abduct her father, prompting her to go search for him on the surface of Earth. Concurrently, the brother of Steel, Squire Maximus, is assigned to Knight Titus to hunt an Enclave member and his dog, which should be very recognizable if you played the fourth Fallout game, while Howard, now a ghoul, Cooper Howard, the guy from the first scene, due to radiation, kills a group of bounty hunters also pursuing the Enclave operator. So I assume that he's going to take up that mission himself.
Is there anything from because I know you played Fallout 4, is there anything from that game that you realized was maybe a little bit off, or any details that you recognize?
Because it's been a long enough time, but I did see so many references, and upon repeat viewing, because I've watched it twice now, you get so many more. So this is one of those rare TV shows where I highly recommend you watch it twice if you're a big fan, because you will catch things even in the first few minutes where it's just like, wow, the background information. I didn't even see the robot in the first time that we went through, but there's the house robot there. There's a lot of little lines that are thrown in. He says the same line at the end of the show that he does to his daughter earlier on.
Yeah, right.
But should we just, let's get the comparisons out of the way.
Last of Us was the first thing I thought of.
Last of Us, for the reason of the first scene, the tearjerker between the father and the daughter. I thought the shot where the daughter, right after he'd explained why there's the thumbs up on all the logos,
which actually debunked a huge theory that was going
around.
So this
is the first
online
time they've explained this?
Yes. That's the first
amazing
time that they actually were like, here is the reason, or here is what the initial reason was.
It's fantastic. No, I mean, that's awesome. So Cooper Howard, he tells his daughter that the thumb was used because back in the military days to give him the warning of whether or not he should even bother running away from a nuclear explosion. And so Lucy,
because if it was past the thumb, right? If the destruction was past the thumb.
It reminded me a little bit, in a joking way, of when kids back in like middle school would tell you if your hand is bigger than your face, you have cancer. But yeah, she puts her up her thumb. How mean would that have been if the dad just pushed it back in her face? With the cake. So yeah, she puts it up because she sees the nuke go off, or atomic bomb. I'm not sure which it is. And so then they go running away, right?
Yep, they go running towards the horse.
Yes. Okay. So in the Last of Us, obviously you have Pedro Pascal and his daughter, and they go through a similar circumstance, but we see the daughter, like what happens, the tragedy that happens.
Right. It's about a 40-minute prologue in
The
Last of Us.
This sums it up in like 10 minutes. And in the games, they usually do sum it up as well. In the first 10 minutes, they show you 27.
I'm hoping with the rest of the series that we do get kind of a scene, because that would be an awesome scene while he's running with the horse and the daughter as these explosions are going off. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to do something like that, but I'm holding out hope, because I was even just enjoying when Walton Goggins was doing his tricks on top of the pony with the rope. You know something is going to be going down in those first couple minutes, but I was just enjoying the show that the kids were even watching.
A lot to say to that. I know that in the Fallout 4 game, there's like this horse called, or this duo that was like the silver, like Hi-Ho Silver. I forgot exactly what, but it was like a side mission that you could do. Mm-hmm. Guy with cowboy hat. There's definitely ghouls in Fallout 4, but he's going to play the pseudo parent. Now that Kyle MacLachlan, who plays Lucy's father, we'll talk about Lucy in a second, but now that he's been abducted, I think that ghoul version of Cooper is going to be the father figure to Lucy, just as with Ellie in Last of Us.
Right. And do you know who directed the first three episodes? Did you catch the name?
No.
It was Jonathan Nolan.
Now, no. Of course I caught that. I thought that's the creator, though.
That's
too.
Actually, it's just the director.
Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan? I thought they created the
series. No, he directed the first three episodes. He's the brother of Christopher Nolan. He's helped him write on things like The Dark Knight and also all this other stuff. The showrunners are called Denise Robertson.
Westworld. Yeah.
Westworld. He also did Person of Interest. His favorite Fallout game, because he's such an avid player of it, is Fallout 3. And the inciting incident is when the father in that game gets taken. So a lot of inspiration just for that. From what I learned, the rest of the series doesn't really follow Fallout 3, but he definitely wanted to pay homage to it in the same way.
I thought that they were the two show creators again. And I thought that we had just done the Game of Thrones creator show, and that we were just jumping into these people's, because I just assumed they got Jonathan Nolan on the phone and he said, I'm in as long as the main character has a cowboy hat. And so they were like, yes, Walton Goggins, let's give him a cowboy hat. Let's do the Justified
He's
thing.
He's done
all over
so
again.
Many Westerns.
And then Lisa Joy was like, well, you know, it would be helpful if we had one set faction be really, really mad and then just attack the other ones right when they're not expecting it. Maybe make it at a party. And then Jonathan Nolan was like, didn't we do that already in season one? And they were like, forget it. Let's just do it again. So that was my...
Jonathan Nolan was the main reason why this was made.
Not
See,
surprised.
Todd Howard, who has run Bethesda for at least a good decade, they've been wanting to make a Fallout film since 2008, ever since the third one came out. And Todd Howard has just continually said no. But when Jonathan Nolan came to him and was like, I'm really interested in doing this, directing this, especially the first three episodes, that's when Todd Howard gave the okay.
And then when you got the rest of the cast involved, like, I can't see how that wouldn't help. Let's talk about Lucy McLean for a minute.
Yes.
So that's our main character. She takes up the most of the episode, more than the ghoul or who Maximus does later on. She's raised underground in this vault, Vault 33, because of the radiation on the Earth's surface. Her mom is dead. She's a badass, though. She's been trained in self-defense, engineering, weapons, history, all that jazz. She begins the episode sort of naive, excited, fixated on the fertility experience.
Do you want to know what Ella Purnell has described her own character as? Ned Flanders in the apocalypse.
I would not... Okay, I see it. I see what you're saying. She wants to preserve humanity. So she does have that optimistic viewpoint. She's not stupid, though. I think Ned's a bit stupid. Okay. But then shit goes bleak. And by the end of the episode, she's setting off on her own solo op. And she's even knocking out the people who would maybe try to help her because she doesn't want them following.
If you want to have a good video game adaptation TV series, just cast Ella Purnell. That's what this has told me with Arcane as
Jinx.
Well.
Yeah. I think she did the thing that Emma Watson did, was she dyed her hair because she gets more roles as playing not a blonde.
And she's also on Yellow Jackets, right?
Oh, no. I think you're confusing her with someone else. Wait, really? That's
yes.
her? That's not her. No, it's not.
Yes.
That's the same girl?
Yeah.
The main character?
I'm not sure if it's the main character. She had a main role in season two and then a recurring role in season two,
yeah.
Main character season one.
I know who that she would be. She would be the main character, but that's crazy because, like, yeah, I'd forgotten that. I completely forgotten that. And she looks way different. And seeing her at play sort of like in her mid-20s here. So Silo is really what this show is all about.
Underground community.
It's just Silo with more dark humor and sarcasm thrown into it. No one is supposed to leave the silo or this vault. The only way that these fortresses remain tenable is to keep the people in them complacent and also oblivious. After the raider attack, however, it's clear that her father and mother have kept secrets from her, right? And so... unlike in Silo, where they have Common to come in, the judicial guy, to like sort everything out and make sure no one talks to each other, she just leaves.
And
so by the end of episode one, she has left the vault and she's in the real world.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of the end of Portal 2, but that's something that's different from the game. See, Vault 31, 32, and 33 weren't connected like they are in the show. They're actually spread out across entire countries.
That's something for the real
fans.
So
this was something, so this was something that they decided to change for the show, but I think it really worked in its favors, especially because I didn't see the Raiders attack coming. Did you?
Yes, I did. 100%. I will get to that in a second, but I just wanted to say, speaking of secrets, Zach Cherry, our favorite from the Severance show, like, that's crazy that they got him playing a different role where he's also oblivious and underground and not knowing what's going on.
He's typecast in that role, though.
Yeah.
He's Zach Cherry. Like, where Will Smith used to
did
just be Will Smith,
when
Zach
Cherry's
Zach
Cherry. And he said the line about, what was it, the jello mold or something? Like, get that jello mold out of here while people are dying.
I think my favorite kill, and the one that I'm kind of talking about, that dark humor, is when one of the raiders takes someone from the vault, shoves the gun in their mouth, and starts shooting people through the guy's head.
That was after the Jell-O mold attack.
Yeah.
I think I like the death where Chet was about to die, and then the guy trips because he was, like, tripped by his ankle, and he got stuck right in the middle of a vault door as it closes.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Pros, though. Should I get into my...
Yes.
It only really needs one, and I think that it hits it. It needs to stay in sync with the game.
This Absolutely.
Is grim and quirky, nostalgic, but with a twist. Not too dark, not too light. There's an actual term for it. Adam Punk retrofuturism.
Adam Punk
characterized in a fictional future where atomic energy, vintage technology, and Art Deco aesthetics are set against the harsh realities of a post-apocalyptic wasteland. Additionally, themes of American consumerism, militarism, and bureaucracy are sharply critiqued, mostly in the Maximus storyline, mm-hmm. with how the Brotherhood of Steel is working, with exaggerated scenarios and propaganda-style artwork. Again, the smiley guy with the thumbs up. He must have a name.
I think that's supposed to be
Cooper.
Cooper. I think it's supposed to be him.
I do know that in the first scenes where Lucy is hanging out with her dad when she's applying to be the mom or the
right.
like get married, she's watching the cowboy show, which I think showed Cooper on the screen. So
because he was an actor, right?
Yes, he was an actor. Yes. So propaganda style artwork to highlight the irony of a society that marched obliviously towards its own destruction because they kind of went willing.
That
yes.
tone that you're talking about, I mean, the quirk that you mentioned just worked so well. Absolutely the biggest pro. It was insane that they were able to take such a dark story. Because again, that Raider scene, I mean, the gruesome deaths that you see there. Yeah, it's still funny in the end. I thought it worked so well.
Do you, from the limited amount that you remembered of the games, what were the references you caught, if any?
I didn't catch much.
Okay, so for me, I don't want to list too many, but there's the telesonic projector. There was merit points that was in the posters. Mm-hmm. The thumbs up everywhere. Relics being mentioned. That's also something they mentioned in Silo. In Silo, you're not allowed to have a relic
yes.
from the past. In the Brotherhood or whatever, they're looking for relics because they like to preserve them. Heal juice, that stuff that as soon as she got stabbed by her husband, it looked like she was a goner, but then she was able to.
I thought she had stabbed her husband, but then they do the pan down, and she was the one to get it.
Which is, they want to revert your expectations. That's what Jonathan Nolan is there for. The angry juice, because right before the guy who got cut in half, the one I was discussing,
right.
who almost killed Chet, he took like some Powerade juice right beforehand that looked like he was about to get really mad.
Kind of almost like Mad Max Fury Road with that silver stuff.
No, exactly. And then the guy who had the ice cream. Or the cake on his face also looked like the Mad Max character. Coordinated outfits, ghouls with their chickens. The soundtrack, the first song that they did, they do like Johnny Cash songs, but the Nat King Cole song is called Orange Colored Sky. And it's used in the Fallout 4 game, and I think it's used in Fallout.
They did that a couple with this show, where people are walking in, they use games music from the games.
But the cool thing about this specific song is that Nat King Cole wasn't the only person to cover it over all the years that it's been out there. His daughter has done it. Michael Bublé has done it. Lady Gaga has done it. Stop Me When It Sounds Too Outrageous. Adam West has done it.
As
Batman. And I believe 1966, he like went on TV and did the song.
You know what? I absolutely would believe it because the animated series, I know Kevin Conroy did like Am I Blue by Ray Charles.
Yeah, and Wonder Woman Linda Carter did it on The Muppets.
So all the people from Justice League.
And I think it was perfectly placed, obviously, at that beginning part. And what you were talking about with the tone, being able to switch between that moment where him and his daughter are surely going to die to making you very sad to that, to then watching people just get murdered recklessly and finding that funny. Like, it's just usually that wouldn't work. There would be something that like takes you out of it.
Also, the colorization I think is really important. It's all blue, which is usually a calming color, but it's actually juxtaposed with all the violent imagery that you are seeing. Because Walton Goggins even said that the killings are very grotesque in this show.
It wouldn't work if there wasn't a bit of karmic energy. So yes, a lot of innocent people get obliterated and murdered. However, you do see like the two jerks at the beginning. One of them ends up punching the other one in the face. So that they can get into their sealed chamber, right. their own vault when the nuclear explosion happens. You see the bad guys. Our main character, Lucy, is able to take a few of them out. Her husband, after he stabs her, she's able to mess up his face real bad.
That was a crazy death. You also get the please stand by from the games on the walls.
Yeah. But when she does that, it seems like he dies earlier. They pulled an Invincible on us where they showed him almost die in the room, but he apparently survived. His face is just severely gnashed. And then her dad throws the man into pickle juice, his face into pickle juice, which then drowns him. However, can you imagine with open wounds and acidic pickle juice?
How much that would hurt.
That would be a sting of a death. So that's what I meant by karmic energy. They also do a gender role reversal quite a lot, which I was a fan of because it was still funny. Norman, her brother, Lucy's brother, is kind of a self-described weak, coward, chickenish type person, but he has a good heart. And I think from what we're seeing in the future trailer that they showed at the end, he will continue to be in it. Bert.
Bert's a multiplayer character in Fallout Tactics. I'm not sure if it was supposed to be the same Bert because this is still supposed to be canon with the games, but I'm thinking that could be really funny if that's one of the references they're making.
Stephanie is Lucy's best friend before she gets married, and she's even wearing her wedding dress because everybody shares the same wedding dress. They have to conserve stuff. And Stephanie is just cruel almost to her husband. She first says, I think, she makes a reference to the fact that he's quick in bed. And I was like, ooh, poor Bert. And then she openly eye goggles Lucy's new husband, Monty. We'll talk about Monty in a second. And then Bert dies.
Yep.
Bert's storyline. His wife is clearly not happy in that relationship. And then he's dead. And Stephanie does seem to be mad about that because she then attacks one of the raiders, gets a fork in the eyeball, and from now on, we're going to see her with an eye patch.
Well, not only that, when Stephanie and Lucy are walking, because they're about to go to the wedding, it is almost carbon copy of what the vault looks like from the games from Fallout 4 Fallout 76. I'm talking about the set design was very close with attention to detail. Even the part where she walks out at the very end, Lucy, into the sand place, they shot that in South Africa.
I was more impressed with the first scene where they were showing 2077 and you had that weird mix of 1950s, the weird TVs, the radios, everything was clean and yet it still felt antiquated at the same time. You had the reporters on the screen saying, I don't want to talk about the weather because we're all about to die. So there was so much foreshadowing happening, and then the nuclear explosion. One thing I was curious about is you're told not to look directly at a nuclear explosion when it happens, right?
Yeah.
These guys were staring it down. So they must have been far enough away where it wasn't going to give them the sunburn that we saw in Oppenheimer.
So
there was that, and then Chet was also one of the sort of gender role reversal because he is also a bit of a coward. He's way more interested in Lucy than he should be. There was a lot more cousin creepy incest stuff jokes that I was not aware of, and they must be from the game because Lucy was like, I'm tired of 10 years of stuff with my cousin.
It was funny.
I don't understand how that even...
Chet just creeped me out throughout the whole episode. Even the part where he was supposed to kind of go with Lucy because he didn't want her to get hurt. Even that,
I hate it when characters are when they go as a group because it then takes away from the central story.
I was glad that,
it when Rick is off on his own and when Michonne joins him, it's like, is this really necessary? Right now, I want to see him do his own adventure. But with hers, I did think it was an interesting pairing to have her brother Norman, who's clearly not up for the task, and Chet, the guy who's just going to be fawning friend zoned over her the entire time, and she would have to solo that task with them. So I was a little bummed when she knocked one of them out, and then Norman just
really when she drugged Chet, you were sad about that?
I wasn't sad. I was just this could have gone either way, and I would have been happy with either one. Overall, that's kind of where her story ends. At the very beginning of the episode, did you catch the insult that was thrown at Cooper, who didn't want to do the thumbs up with the wife?
No.
They called him a pinko, and I had to look up what that meant, and pinko is just the version of libtard of its day.
Interesting. I mean, the reason that he decided not to do the thumbs up was, again, he knew that the world was going to end, right? He said, given the state of things, he didn't want to do it.
I don't think anybody knew that a world was going to end, but they knew that it was very close. Things could have gone wrong, and they did, obviously.
Right,
yes. But there was multiple explosions and stuff. The last positives I will say about the show is, again, the casting. You also had the Mr. Robot guy that we didn't mention.
Yes. So the guy from season 4, who was Angela's father, shows up in Fallout. I needed to use the X-ray on Amazon because I did not recognize him at first.
He's older a bit, but he's still...
He's in Maximus's storyline.
So Maximus's storyline, I have it sort of in my cons, not because it was bad per se. I just wasn't as interested in it. It felt like the backflashes were deliberately playing it coy. I feel like he's John Boyega's character in Star Wars, where he's going to be a double agent. I think as much as they leave us to believe that he was apologetic, but didn't put this the little razors into his friend's boot to get the position that he got, I think he did. I think that we're going to learn that these guys are responsible for his parents' death or something, and that he just became one of them so that he could take them all down. He's looking to get his own mech suit, and he's then going to go on the lam. I didn't trust his whole story because
I thought
it felt
the same
so
exact
manufactured.
Thing. I thought that they were even going to reveal that in the first episode. I'm not a fan of how they're, I think, going to really leave it
stretch
until
it
the end. But I agree with you. I wanted to see what was going to happen with Lucy. I felt like his storyline was just kind of a distraction. I'm sure he's going to have more in the upcoming episodes, but Lucy's storyline seems 1,000 times
more interesting. I'm glad they introduced him. I'm also happy with how the mech suits look. They look terrific.
So what they did with the mech suits was the Pip-Boys, they made it a lot more like Fallout 4, because in all the other ones, it's just additional armor. But what they did with the mech suits was they got an extra who was very lean, who was very big, and then they built a suit around him and then decided to copy that suit.
So they She-Hulked him.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what they did there. One thing I missed with the casting is that Ghoulbog or whatever the guy's name, but just the ghoul, right?
Yeah.
Looks like Voldemort meets Freddy Krueger, right?
So actually it took 5 hours. Yeah, he doesn't have a nose. 5 hours in the makeup chair. But what's funnier is that Walton Goggins, it only took 2 minutes on the Zoom call when he was talking to the creators to even accept the role. He didn't even get the first episode of the script. He wanted to do it that badly.
He Nick Caged it.
I thought that the ghoul was awesome, and I've seen some clips from future episodes. I want to see what his storyline is. He is the most interesting character to me, including Lucy.
I still think that Ella Purnell is the star of the show and deserves to be. I remember when I watched, not Yellowstone, what was the?
Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets. And I said, this first episode feels like it could be a movie or it could be a play. I forgot. It just didn't feel like normal television. And I sort of get the sense here. And I have to say that she was a big part of that episode too. So I think she's just really, really talented.
Well, actually, one of the things I wanted to talk about was that ending scene. So when Lucy comes across a buried body of a Sultron from Fallout 4, that's something that she does when she's in the South Africa scene, when she's in the sand.
I thought they just cut away from her real
life. No, but apparently one of the Sultron, whoever that is in Fallout 4, was buried in the sand, and that was supposed to be a direct connection to the game.
I was more concentrating just on the dog. I can't wait till we see the companion, because I was like, you could switch out companions, you know, it doesn't have to be that guy. But I'm glad they chose the
German
Shepherd.
And that's the reason that, again, that's the main reason why the creators decided not to just recreate one of the games, but instead make their own story, because they know that with Fallout, it depends on the choices that you make and everyone is going to have their own ending. So they just decided, you know what, we're going to make this show chronologically after those games and do our own story.
And when I thought it was Jonathan Nolan, sorry, my voice is being weird, but when I thought it was Jonathan Nolan heading the series, I thought that down the line that might be an issue for them, because it is such an open world and they have so many different stories that they could follow. They could easily get a little distracted and become too expansive, unfold bigger and bigger conspiracies until it becomes the next Westworld, where a lot of the audience just kind of loses track of what they're trying to say. However, because you're saying he was only brought in for the first 3 episodes, I think that's terrific. I'm not done yet. So the lack of security in Vault 32 is probably one of my biggest cons.
Again, it's not that way in the games. They decided to change it for the show.
That doesn't mean anything. I'm criticizing the show for this. So why does Monty, when he walks in there and he's like, my name's Monty, he says it with a fucking accent. And I said that out loud. I was like, if you've been raised with everybody else that you know for your entire life in one place, there's no way you have an accent. And there's no way that doesn't raise red flags to anybody from the outside hearing different accents.
Right. The bombing was 2077, 219 years later. I get what you're saying.
Well, no. I'm not saying that. Like, I'm saying that everybody could have had a British accent in that vault, but then everybody would have had to have a British accent in that vault.
Okay. Yeah.
So when it comes to them not testing for radiation to see if any of them are radioactive, because it's not the first time they've had breaches. glitches, they're able to contact other vaults with their little computer gizmos on their hands. So this was just such a lax operation. And these guys were very suspicious. Some of them had some strange tattoos just because they were wearing the uniform. All it took was Norman literally walking into Vault 32, like less than a few minutes, and he was able to figure out that everything had gone wrong. So I don't understand why they just let them part of the party. They were very naive when it came to that. And when we learn that Kyle MacLachlan's character, who's the overseer,
McLaughlin,
Hank, right? He says he knows who she is. And then she's like, everybody knows who I am, right?
Right.
But if he knows who she is, and the mom's death has kind of said that she knows more, like I think the person who says, you know, everybody knows who I am, also made a comment about to Lucy about her mom and how there's secrets that he could have expressed to Lucy earlier on, and he should have been more suspicious. The last thing is that they gave him an ultimatum, the Hank's character, and they were like, either we're going to kill your daughter or we're going to kill all the people that we have lined up here, which included Chet. And
are you going to talk about how they walk away or they give them the chance to run before that happens?
Hank smiles. He takes his daughter. He puts her into a separate room. It looks like he's choosing to save her. And then, yes, they knock out Hank, and then they start dragging his body away. The person who says, everybody knows who I am, but we still don't, she's from Sex and the City, I think, the new one. She turns to the group, and she's like, now run. And then they run, and she doesn't kill them. And so it's like she let both sides go. And does she have like a moment of feeling after murdering half of them already? I don't understand.
I was saying I agreed with you, but I think they didn't want to make Hank too unlikable. And had he chosen his daughter, even though she's the main character, I think had they killed off the other characters, it would have made him unlikable because that would have been six characters that are dead. I agree with you. It didn't make much sense in the story, but yeah, I think that's why they decided to go that way. Yeah, no, that is a fair point. But talking about the review for this show, what would you give it overall?
My rating is that this is not your average cup of joe. This is an A for a pilot. It is a 9 out of 10. I will watch it. I will recommend it. I can't wait to watch the rest of the series. I'm thrilled with this one. I'm saying all video games should get their own deals because, again, if you're having hundreds of people writing these things already out, making worlds for them, and they're not getting the recognition that they deserve because games are all, people complain about how long it takes to make new ones.
Right.
But all they have to do is look back at the last few years and they can get the rights for, as you were saying, Red Dead or like Elden Ring, or, you know, I've heard good things about this Harry Potter game. Like maybe they should consider doing a series of that. No, but you see what I'm saying? Like, I just don't understand how that wouldn't just be cash in the bank.
It's going to be 8 episodes. The budget was $153 million. It took inspiration from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and it's gotten critical acclaim. 8.7 on IMDb.
It's so good.
Thank you, Amazon, for releasing all the episodes in one day. 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, 87% audience score. Actually, the 8.7 is the exact same score that The Last of Us, which I realized when I was doing research for this, I still haven't finished, is exactly the same score that Last of Us has. However, Last of Us has like 500,000 reviews or something.
They're both post-apocalyptic. They both deal with the pseudo-dads and pseudo-daughter relationships. They both have a kind of dark tone, but like they're so different.
Yeah,
you can watch both of them and enjoy them both for their own thing, and you'll never really feel like you're getting the same content.
I agree with you. When I watch something like Invincible and The Boys, I can't help but see the similarities, not only with the actors, but just kind of how just closely related the shows are. This feels completely different, even though every review compares it to The Last of Us. I know IGN said that it's, along with The Last of Us, one of the best video game adaptations of a TV show ever made. Guardian gave
Henry
the series
Cavill is just rolling over in his grave. No, he's not dead.
Guardian gave the series 5 out of 5, or actually gave the pilot 5 out of 5, saying it's an absolute blast of a TV show. And I know that Tim Kaine, who created the original game, also gave the first 2 episodes praise, saying he was on the edge of his seat throughout the whole time.
It's just such a fun watch. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's about, I will give it an 8.5 out of 10, and I will continue to watch it as well.
I can't bump you up to a 9?
No.
Not even for Walton Goggins at the very end, right before they show the ad, he comes out and he's like, now let's get to the good part or something. They show him in regular face. So I wonder if we are going to see like little clips of him without
the
makeup.
You are.
No,
you are.
That's cool.
But the Maximus' storyline to me, it just took away too much from it. He actually described his character as a cross between Cassius and Julius Caesar and called his character like a hungry dog, kind of. So that almost leads me to believe more that he did put the razor in the suit to get the job.
His excuse was that he was, I don't know. The only other option would have been that she did it herself to get out of it, but I just wasn't getting that sense from her. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the next episode. Hope you enjoyed this one. Bye.
Bye.